one of the challenges you'll have, and we've researched this to death, all of Asia wants recognition.
But we are not focused on fleeting trends or loud logos, which is why we call ourselves modern quiet luxury.
Naomi Klein wrote many years ago, no logo, it didn't work.
When you say recognition, the consumer wants to be recognized for wearing a certain
logo. I want the logo to be seen.
How do you think of PMF in a environment like ours where we are 0 to 1? But in spring summer when we launched, we had a 30% hit rate. That in autumn winter has moved to 50%. Now, is that a function of seasonality? Is that a function of buying season, or is that a sign of product market fit?
One easy proxy, of course, is repeatability. So if someone comes in tries one product, do they come back with a basket size of 2? Great filter to see. And if that number is about 20%, the first product that probably has PMF. The second one is,
I really need to know my consumer well. Woman buying for woman, herself. Woman buying for man. Man buying for himself. Man buying for woman. So who is the customer? And why did they buy? And more importantly, why did they not buy? Do you know the right questions to ask?
Sanya and Adit, welcome to the Barbershop. And today I have Shiv and Toshan with me, my bosses from different parts of my career. Shiv was the CEO at Nokia when I interned there. Toshan was a senior partner at McKinsey when I was an associate there. So I have learned a lot from them directly through mentorship and working. We will take 5-10 minutes to go through the business. So who you both are, what's the business, what's the product, why is it different, what's the competitor like, what's the scale, what's the channels, like just a broad 5-10 minute overview of the business.
So I'll quickly start with what is Covent Lane. We're a modern, quiet luxury brand for today's ambitious man and woman. We are not focused on fleeting trends or loud logos, which is why we call ourselves modern, quiet luxury. We're hyper-focused on the fantastic, best fabric blends and designs that are versatile, timeless, and chic.
We launched 9 months ago. Primary channel is D2C. We only came onto marketplaces in August and have scaled up there since.
What marketplaces?
Primarily only Myntra right now, and a very small presence on Ajio. So last month, the contribution from marketplace was 35%, 65% D2C.
Yeah.
And what are your product? What's your product like?
So we do men and women's collection, as you can see here. They're intended to be versatile, timeless, not based on like
a... You say timeless, so I'm not a fashion person at all.
Yep.
So when you say timeless, what does that mean?
So I'll put in context with another brand. For example, when people are buying a Hugo Boss or a Ralph Lauren, you're buying it and you can wear it 3 years later and it's still looking as crisp, as modern, as on point, right? And so timeless for us is talking about how you're not driven by a certain season or a trend, but you're wearing well-tailored, well-fitted garments. Like this is a Covent Lane fit that is inspired by a trench coat, and I can wear it in this season. I can wear it on Christmas morning. I can wear it for brunch, or I can wear it 2 years later at work.
That's one aspect of timeless, which you define as durability. Another aspect of timeless is design sensibility. Like Burberry trench coat is a great example of that. You know, so you must also think of design durability.
100%.
That timelessness is very important. So the watch you're wearing, the Rolex, you know, bevel cut is a timeless design. The Rado is a timeless design.
Yeah.
Think about it from that point of view. Okay?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
By the way, though, you mentioned the shivering. It reminded me of Patek Philippe. That's a very different range. And the first time I was seeing an advertisement, I figured it was maybe...
You buy it for the next generation.
So it was a conversation between father and son, where the son was not having any time for the father. Father is not having time for the son. They go to they have a boat together on the bank of Lake Geneva or wherever. And the father and son are spending time together. Yeah. And then it is Patek Philippe because I said, you are not buying it, you are for the next generation. So the emotions around it was just, to me, that when I said timeless, that was the first thing which came to my mind, is saying it's not about an occasion just.
Correct.
It's about the emotion which will always be there, whether it is about caring or about...
Like for this treadle design is timeless. I've seen this for 25 years.
Yeah.
every other shape doesn't work. This works.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that.
And they own it now.
They own it.
You don't need to reach Stanley. You know it's Stanley.
That's what I mean.
It's amazing that you use the word timeless for a watch.
Yeah.
It's such a...
Which tells you the time.
Yeah.
But it is time not meant for that.
Yeah. Correct.
Understood. So 35% on Myntra and Jio. And 65% on D2C. And you guys are doing roughly 25 lakhs a month. So in 9 months, you guys have built a 3.5 crore per year business. And your CM2 has improved over the last 4-5 months. Okay. Interesting.
Just one side point, just thinking about what you're saying.
Yeah.
Your starting first step itself to build a men's and women's common brand. If you look at the history of branding in apparel, globally, it has been store brands who've done it. A Marks and Spencers, an H&M, etc. It's never been?
Brands.
Okay. Brands in India have started the other way around, starting with men's. Because it was always felt that men's fashion, men need office wear, etc. So now the Allen Solly's, now the Louis Philippe's of this world have got into women categories. Okay, so for you to start off right from day one in this, you really need to think about your offering and your target.
But globally, it's also the reverse, where somebody said, okay, I'll be women's first, and then you started adding on, or men's first, and you started adding on.
So, very, very good point.
So how did you do the single do both, versus saying I build strong in one end? I don't know that much about fashion, clearly, as you will see from my this thing, but I've always had this whole thing of saying I'm like Under Armour, started for something, and then they became everything. Ralph Lauren started for something, to address these challenges of seasonality and so on, I say there are lots of things which are common. At the back end is common, and so, and I know my consumers, I know my marketing, and then I do. But how did you guys say, right at the start, I'm going to do both?
And I'll just add to that. He makes a very important point that when you have a unisex brand, you need unisex categories also to ride. For example, Calvin Klein, whom you mentioned, okay, I know Calvin very well because they used to be part of Unilever.
Okay.
So I've interacted a lot with their marketing managers. Calvin has jeans,
yeah,
which is unisex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So think about what are unisex categories you can pull off. The other way to think about this, the way to skin it, I have an answer for one, but don't have the answer for the second. I'll put it. For example, every ambitious woman, let's say working woman as an example, okay, has an LBD in her wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many LBDs can you say? Little black dress.
Okay.
Coco Chanel. Coco Chanel.
I love it.
1974 or whenever it was. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's compulsory as part of wardrobe. So how many LBDs can you sell to an ambitious woman in India?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What design? Like I saw your LBD there. It's 1950. Okay. 1950. Is there patterns you can sell which are different? Because in today's world, more for women than for men, the clothes have to be Instagram smart. Remember this. Because if you wear this, I take a picture and I post it, you don't want to wear it again. Okay, marriage, the same thing is happening. We see this all the time. For men, I don't know what's the equivalent of an LBD. That's why you're starting
black
with...
Black shirt, I think. A black shirt?
White shirt, black trousers, I don't know.
I don't know.
Trust me, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I've thought about it hard. T-shirts are a default. They are not LBD. So think about building it around what's mandatory,
mm-hmm,
and aspects of that mandatory which you can drive consumption.
Okay.
So one of the challenges you'll have, which I stated or unstated, mm-hmm, in your document, is recognition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And we've researched this to death. All of Asia wants recognition. So, and America is very big on recognition. For example, America started that huge Ralph Lauren polo. Remember that big one. Now you have Ralph Lauren by India, by Thailand, by country. Okay. Same thing with Paul and Shark.
Mm.
Paul and Shark has an India flag, etc. So recognition is a very important thing. It's only Europe where it's subtle.
So when you say recognition, the consumer wants to be recognized for wearing a certain...
A logo. I want the logo to be seen. Like Arrow, when it was launched, one of my ex-bosses was the guy who started it. When they researched, they said, why would we buy an Arrow if there's no logo? So he put it very subtly, mm-hmm, here, that A with the thing. Okay, so brands are very important here. Naomi Klein wrote many years ago, no logo, it didn't work. So think about it, because it's a very big decision you'll come to.
Because quiet luxury is a great category, but it's a tough place to build a brand.
Yeah.
It's a damn tough, like, then what's the brand really?
Yeah.
What's the brand?
You look at people's glasses. It's there, you know, whatever, Ferragamo, Dags, etc. Yeah. It's like huge for people.
I think just being such a point, so it was not, was it this one? Okay, or maybe it was one like this, where there is nothing written, but this is actually titanium.
Yeah.
Okay, it's far more expensive, but when I had gone to get it, it was not in the place where I got this from. said, sir, aap naya khareed lo na. Ye dekho, Titan ka wo naya brand aaya. I was like, aap ye fix kar do. Nahi hota hai to bata do. But that was exactly, the, unless you have show that CG, Prada,
Gucci,
becomes a very, so how will you build that? So interesting.
It'll be a very important debate for you to have whenever you
yeah.
go.
So we have three main questions that we wanted to talk about today. The first one being, how do you think of PMF in a environment like ours where we are 0 to 1, you've got a fair idea of the business we're at. And I can give you some context if that'll help set the scale. But in spring, summer when we launched, we had a 30% hit rate where if we introduced 10 products, three of them started flying off the shelf at a good sale-through rate. Customers were asking for more. That in autumn, winter has moved to 50%. Now, is that a function of seasonality? Is that a function of buying season? Or is that a sign of product market fit? The second part is that marketplace, when we've gone into marketplace versus Meta, PPCMF, what is, how do you guys think of PPCMF, which is price, product, channel, market fit? And yeah.
So question number two is, at an early stage, how do we make decisions that are data driven when the data is so small? We can have directional sense coming from it, but how do we make important decisions, say, about inventory?
What's your data size when you say data is small?
10,000 customers.
That's not small. What are you guys saying?
To feed it into an inventory model.
10,000 is a hell of a lot.
Okay. And 10,000 customers, the number of people who added to cart are probably 50,000 or 70,000.
Okay. So then maybe, yeah, you're right. You cut it down to saying this piece of garment, as long as you have 200 to 300 data points, you're
okay. Mm-hmm. Mm. Got it.
Okay, 10,000 is a lot of data points, guys.
Okay. Okay. When was the next one?
And the final one is, in early scaling days, what should we sort of focus on? Every time we scale, we see sort of volatility coming in with our ROAS, with our marketing burn. But we also don't want to sort of pick our foot off the pedal on the profitability and, you know, the base metrics. So how to sort of balance
You're
that
the best
out?
Guy. One entrepreneur, one investor. They can do 2-3 sessions on this.
So let's do this in order. I love these questions. They're very sharp. And okay, on PMF, right? I think in your category, okay, I'll tell you about our category, right? Our category is very different from your category because in our category, consumers use our products alone inside the privacy of the bathroom with no word of mouth. No one talks about a razor afterwards. So my only real PMF, which is a good thing, then my only real PMF proxy is repeats. That's it, right? But in your world, this is about status signaling, it's about smartness signaling, it's about word of mouth, it's about a lot of that, right? I think in your world, I like what Shiv said about Instagram friendly, Instagram ready, right? I think shareability becomes critical. So one easy proxy, of course, is repeatability. So if someone comes in tries one product, then do they come back with a basket size of 2? Would be a great filter to see. And if that number is above 20%, then that product, the first product, is already has PMF. The second one is that, can you incentivize people and like kind of ride this wave of being smart, right? That if one person, if Shantanu buys a Koven Lane, and then Shantanu wants to be smart in front of his friends, and he refers Koven Lane, when Shantanu gets rewarded for that referral. So one is a very blue, like a very standard vanilla referral program. But if you can make it really worthwhile, that if someone is sharing on Instagram and there's engagement on mentions, and then there's engagement on referrals, through incentives, you can actually get very quick early data on PMF. For at least a style or a fabric. Because you know that this person's sharing, this person's getting their friends to buy, this person's repeating with like a, above like two basket size. Then you know, and if that number is above 20% triangulated, I think you go to hit PMF.
So is it a fair way to say that instead of product market fit, it's category market
consumer
fit?
Consumer market. Like, I think for the like consumer to like buy more, yeah. For me, that's, yeah, that's product consumer fit. And then you might see, and then you can cut it. You can say that maybe men in this age group with this propensity of price are possibly the ones who are... So I found PMF for this particular kind of consumer.
Hmm.
I've not found it for, let's say, the 45-year-old European person who might want dinner, for example. And my view is on PMF, you will have 1 in 10 styles hit PMF in the first year. But if you see that data, that number should go to 3 in 10 in the next year, and then 5 in 10, and then you get better and better at it. Because you won't hit a lot of PMF in the first year. If you are, then either your assortment is too short, or you're really lucky and you're not able to like recreate. I don't know how you guys think about PMF.
So I'm going to take the first one and the second one together, because I think to me, the second one is about data and it's like, again, how you found it and all. And I think I have a, I said product market fit in apparel is the last thing. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? But I think you said you have 10,000 customers. I'm going to talk a very different world, which is football. Mm. Okay, where Man City, because I know one of the data scientists, they have 14 players. Okay, 11 plus 3 kind of thing. How much data they have on 14 players? 400 million.
Yeah.
14 players, 400 million. Then you say, what do you measure?
Everything.
Everything. How many times in a match did he go and use the towel?
Yeah. How long did he hold on the ball to?
Everything. How much time did he look at the neck turns were done? Because am I seeing most? It's like 14 players, more than 400 million data points. I think the question was figuring out what of that data is relevant versus not.
Right.
What is noise? What is causality? What is correlation? What is X? And he said, look, every club has that. In the EPL, this is not like Man City has something more, Arsenal doesn't, or Spurs don't. Everybody has it. But it is the key is to figure out what is right. And he says, it doesn't help us about the players. This is when you introduce a new player in, how does all of this change? He says, and Formula One cars have even more stuff there. So I'm just saying that to me, I'm saying, look, the way I can answer this very simplistically is to say, you just buy one season, two seasons. It's okay, don't worry about this. Worry about getting many other things right. Make a few mistakes, because only when you make a mistake do you know whether it was a mistake or not. Mm-hmm. Okay, so long as they're cheap mistakes. Okay, you don't want to fail the failure faster. But otherwise, I think what I was very shocked by was he was saying, look, the lot of our thing is generate more data, generate more collision points, as was being said. What does the player do during training? This is like immense, because we need to know his nutrition and hydration has to be individually changed, because what works for X will never work for Y. There is so many things different about their shoes. I'm looking at it, I'm saying, shit, their data science, it's expensive. Each one of these players is several millions of dollars. And you say, you get one wrong, you have only finite resources. Of course, if you're owned by the Middle Eastern folks, it helps.
And a correlation is such a beautiful math. It's mathematical magic if you can get correlations right. Because a lot of us think of data science as the ability to filter. But it's actually about correlation between variables that we don't know. And especially when you have a lot of styles across seasons, across consumers, and you have a lot of variables. So we did the auction strategy for IPL 10, 12 years back. And the correlation that we found, the McKinsey team, was for bidding for the number two, the number four batsman, two down. The one that is most successful is the one who can actually take a single on the first ball of an over. Because that means that person is able to rotate strike to either a pinch hitter or an opener in form. So they bid highest at that time for the person whose data suggested that on the first ball of the over, he's able to take a single. That means he doesn't need time to adjust. And it was crazy correlation. And then that was the Mumbai Indian strategy, and then they changed the way they...
The guy who started this was Moneyball.
Yeah.
James Beam.
Absolutely. You're the guy who started it.
No, but I think the other one, so this is one, I think, don't assume you have less data. You may not be capturing it. You may not be using it. Okay, that's a different thing. I think secondly, the other insight which I got from some very good founders is that they're saying, look, I really need to know my consumer well. You're talking of product, channel, market fit, but I'm saying my customer, who is my customer? And we started getting into this discussion saying, woman buying for woman herself, woman buying for man buying for himself, man buying for woman. So who is the customer? Okay. And why did they buy? And more importantly, why did they not buy? If digital and all, and it's not just about the car, it's like about where was the eyeballs at that time, what was distracting, what was not. If the more you know about the customer, right now just capture as much data as you want. Because if you want to get better at PMF or PCMF or whatever, either you make mistakes and then you say, okay, I'll learn. And you will have a few successes. You will get lucky also. I mean, luck works both ways. But the more data you have and the more you analyze it, I think your chances of seeing everything becoming, or many industries, the other day somebody was telling me wine and the vineyards are now becoming so much more data and science driven. See, because somebody is explaining to me that, and then seeing the sulfur, whatever sulfuration is happening, and you need sensors there. And you say, okay, by the way, this is the point where I need to change stuff and the casket. I'm like, oh shit, I always thought wine was about going in and crushing the grapes. And it's such a nice thing. Like, no, all of that. So they have transformed it, saying that data was always, and you used somewhere in your slide, no, bias. That is not bias. Bias is subconscious data that an expert already has with him. Now, if you ask, by the way, this is the data that you have, but I'm sure there are enough data that others have, people who have left them, ex-employees, you can get access to all of that. So I'm saying, if you want access, now Shiv, just now when he said his viscose and fiber and so on, like he has so much data in his head because he's done that business for so long. Okay, it's not captured, it's there in his head. It will be there in like 10 others. Can you extract that? Because you don't have to learn from your mistakes. Smartest should learn from somebody else's mistakes. You can, of course, verify and corroborate that, but learn from others' mistakes, create your own experimental points, and then you will know. But I just think you're asking the question too early, because one season good, one season okay, one season men did, one season women did, one season something worked. It's okay. It's not about the exact holy grail. It's what did I learn about the woman who is 25 to 27? Is there a difference between 25-year-old, 30-year-old? Did she do impulse purchase? Had she been coming on thing and then she bought? I'm saying it is the kind of questions you will ask that data that you already have, which may give you five other insights. So are you asking enough of the right questions? Okay, because as somebody said in interrogation, the whole thing is not about the answer, it's about the questions. It's about the sequencing of the questions. And that's what makes, you know, you can squeeze the data and massage it and all, but do you know the right questions to ask?
Hmm.
Or should you ask the data, or would you do your focus group? Would you just see how consumers are shopping for your products? See as in a different context. In the initial days of call centers, there were expert listeners who were just saying, okay, tonality, okay, the tone of the person who's asking for it and all. And this is again covered in the confidentiality kind of a thing. One of the most successful law firms in the world, okay, they used to record all conversations that their lawyers would have when talking to the client or talking to the opposite side to test for, is there going to be a lie or not? And they were more litigation experts. And they were saying, I know this guy when he is bluffing and all, because now we have enough data. So the data was on the voice. So when your customers, you're saying, I'm getting a call from the call center. Somebody's calling to say, Sanya, your product was beautiful. I didn't like this. Enough layers there. And that law firm knew when to settle, when to do all of it. But you're saying, shit, were you able to, is it legal to record? I said, no, in some states it's legal. I'm recording for quality monitoring purposes and blah, 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 all of that. So get the legal thing right. But I think we have more data than what we think we have. And it'll answer some of those questions. 10 months, maybe a lot, may not be, but who knows? Just experiment with it.
Think about your world as two worlds. I don't think you're in the first world. The first world is a club world, a Bali, a Ferragamo, an Hermes. Those guys will multiply the number of products they buy from there.
Mm.
I want an Hermes tie, an Hermes scarf, an Hermes bag, an Hermes trouser, an Hermes shoes. So an Hermes club will have six products, not one or two. Okay. The second is what he rightly pointed out is what we call the hybrid consumer. Somebody who drives a BMW, wears jeans, wears Nike shoes, but goes to McDonald's.
Right.
So think, pattern it, please.
That's okay. Very interesting.
So for you, the bigger market is the hybrid consumer and not the club.
But you did say that you want to get into that level. Do you see a woman being a Coven Lane woman? Or do you see a woman saying, I want you to, like, on the three occasions a month, I want you to wear Coven Lane? As a brand, what would you prefer?
Not possible. not possible.
To be a Coven Lane woman?
Absolutely. Because that exclusivity is like at a very different level.
But is it good to aim for as a...
No, no, not for their business.
Let's say 25 years down the line.
No. What she just said, mastiche. That's where they should focus.
Because it's a price. But if that same thing was costing 17,000 rupees, for example.
Yes.
Like the warehouse coffee, for example.
Absolutely. No, now, suddenly, you're talking a very different game.
Okay, that case it makes sense.
So then, it cannot be Coven Lane man and woman separately like that. Then you really have to design it, texture, etc. on a very different level.
So you got, oh, this is a hybrid color. That's
yeah.
Well, that gives you more data. Then,
something to think about. Yeah.
I think within that hybrid consumer, what are the consumer personas that are there?
For me right now, I think I'm thinking, 65% of D2C, 30 lakh kar raha hu mahine ka, you need to get that to 5 crores a month.
Correct.
D2C is the best way to do it. By the way, get to a level where your EBITDA is able to fund your first experience store.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rare Rabbit.
Yeah.
Great brand.
Snitch.
Great brands.
Very different price points, but figure out D2C like crazy.
Yeah.
Build it out. Rare Rabbit, again, very similar to you. It had export as a knowledge base, like really built it out. The founder's really smart. And then use the stores to really kind of nail the consumer purchase. Snitch, totally different. Siddharth had a very, like, totally different worldview. He said, boss, I'm going to make it as affordable, super young, very, very loud, very, very different.
Right.
But the model of extracting D2C data, making that more efficient, and then funding retail so that you become a store brand, which then helps you with putting everything that you have on a 2D screen right now into a 3D world.
Yeah.
And then people will start buying more.
In fact, building on Shantanu's point, I was just reflecting what you said. Look at the early premium men's brands in India. Double Bull. For a typical Marwadi gentleman who has made some money, or a Punjab, a shirt.
Really?
Absolutely, Bombay. And you know, loud colors, etc. The other guy, little more subtle, was Chiragdin.
Chiragdin, yeah.
CD.
Okay, Chiragdin. But great fabrics, etc. Okay, everybody who I have spoken to, great fabrics. Now, Ray Rabbit is a great brand. I have a lot of respect. They are one of the brands, apart from Uniqlo, who's won consistently in the last 4 years. I have the highest respect for them. The other guy, Zodiac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about it. Zodiac never went into women or anything.
Right.
Okay, now they've gone into ties. They were shirt manufacturers. Okay, they're not great in trousers. BlackBerry, on the other hand, now does the opposite. BlackBerry is great in trousers, now going to shirts. So there is a certain expertise in the category, please.
I met the BlackBerry promoters. He's like, boss, I don't know why India, why men have 20 shirts and 2 trousers. They should have 20 trousers and 2 shirts.
And but like the top of the body.
The point which again Toshin made to you, in your industry, cool is a 0-1 game. Remember this. It's binary. And we worked with all cool brands. When you are not cool, follow the trend quickly.
Hmm.
Okay. If you try, you cannot go and say, I'm cool. The consumer has to say that I'm cool with
it. Can you manufacture that?
Difficult. Very, very difficult. Very difficult. It's a 0-1 game. And we struggled with it all the time.
Which are some brands you think have done it well?
Let me think about it. I'll give you.
But I think on your question, the BlackBerry one, 80% of the occasions, you are visible this way. Look at all of us. I don't know what trouser he's wearing.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Most of the time when you stand and speak, you are at a podium, which is also this way. Even when you sit in a this thing, you are like folded your legs and your shoes are more likely to be visible than the...
Shoes are the biggest one out there.
But and then you wear a jacket, which will cover some part of it. So, and then you have the belt, which you want to, then you want to show Louis Vuitton belt and...
Hermes, H.
H belt and so on. So people say, trouser bhul jao. Belt dikhna chahiye pehle jada. So that's what trouser always suffers that last say. And trouser getting the fit right and so on is more difficult than this thing. So that's why, from your standpoint also, I think the upper body focus is... and men also, if you see, because it's BlackBerry, the amount of time men focus on their upper body in gym is disproportionate. That's why you have chicken leg phenomena. Okay, so everything talks of, you know, get the upper body right. Lower body will follow.
We've covered this.
Third question for the two of them.
No, but he had more data. I think has some very interesting things.
So the way we are sort of looking at data from a directional lens, at least, is to create systems that can help us be guiding principles on how we reorder inventory, how we understand if a product is successful or not. Because it's directional, not definitive. So we track those things really closely. But I think to your guys' point, I feel intuition and design is what sort of drives this industry.
Yeah, founder instinct is very solid and it'll get sharper. So like actually, my push to you would be to listen to your instinct more than you would and to give more credit to your gut. Because your gut is shaped by a lot. Like, and we don't realize it. You're talking to consumers, you're building this out, you're talking to manufacturers, you're in China. All of that kind of gets logged in subconsciously and then it finds its way into like a design or a product that you make. And then you might think, oh, this is just an experiment. But actually, it comes from a lot. And it gets better and better with time. So like, don't actually listen to your instinct more than you would.
Got it. Interesting fact also, I mean, I feel like this is natural, but our heroes do have lesser returns as compared to like some of the other products. And this is at a SKU specific level.
Very good. First time right is such a big thing, right? Getting the first time right purchase is very important. I think you should track this to the core. You might have actually, and this is where the correlation data will be cool, right? In your long tail, you might have like a zero return product amongst like few number of customers.
Right.
To figure out what's really working there. Like, are those customers, do they have something in common? Is the product working in some very unique way which is different from the assortment of Coverlane? Otherwise, it'll give you a lot. I think this is a very, very interesting.
You know, the other question I would ask on returns is, you're tracking it by SKU. But do you know the same customer taking one hero and taking one non-hero and then returning a non-hero, or the returns are coming from a different set of customers? So as Toshan, I buy one hero and one non-hero, or I buy two SKUs, I return one.
Yeah.
Versus as Toshan, I'm just returning more because I'm trying for a fit. I'm just not liking Covent Lane.
Yeah.
It's a 2x2. The hero customer and non-hero customer, hero product, non-hero product.
Or you say, by the way, my great customer, he will always buy 3 heroes and return 6. It's okay, it doesn't matter. But the 3 heroes he buys. He's buying because he's just trying out more, to Shantanu's point. If you know that, then you could do what Shantanu said in terms of 60-day returns. So then I will buy more, but I'll return more. But at least I'm going to be more loyal.
And then you can bake that into the price.
Yeah.
This is the best part about D2C, is that you can bake everything into the price, including inventory.
Yeah.
Because prices, you guys decide.
So we actually are seeing early, like, interesting data. Most of our returns are either customers who bought like 6-7 products because they want to try it, and then they're returning the products that don't fit them, don't look good. Or first-time customers that it doesn't work for them, the fit is not good or the whatever. Only one customer actually, so far we've had, who's bought from us 8 times. And he has returned 3.5 or 4 times from his basket size. So I called him. I was like, hey, what's up? Like, why are you, keep coming back, but you're still returning. And he's like, I just love the brand. I lived in Canada. You remind me of Club Monaco. So I keep wanting to try it. I'm too tall, so your pants are too short for me. And sometimes some of your polos are too, like, lean for me. But I keep wanting to try it. But that subset of customer right now for us is much, it's one so far. Most of them are either in these two categories, where they're buying multiple and returning because they're experimenting, or they're buying and it's not worked and then...
So one of the things people do with non-hero, store brands do this, okay, is they bundle it.
Yeah.
All store brands, a pink shirt, a different color tie, they bundle 3 and then they drive your consumption. Okay, that's the other strategy. I don't know if it'll work for you. Okay.
Okay.
But I liked your framework. Hero product and hero customer, and then how to...
In India, like, that customer split is very interesting.
No, and you know, you showed your... Just go 2 slides back. One more. Yeah, this women's dresses, men's shirts, men's tops, men's polos. So I'm asking myself the question that the people who are buying the men's shirts are also buying men's polos. And if I buy men's shirts, am I returning men's shirts? And am I buying men's polos, am I returning? Or is it that, you know what, we are creating this dichotomy that I'm actually liking a certain set of things. So it is just, your trousers are not fitting me, or the polos are not. More and more people are saying, look, you know what, if I'm buying both, one is literally appealing to me versus one is not. I just don't know enough. But this is what you have to figure out, because then you can design your bundles, offers, all of those. This is because you say, what, these two are different. People who are buying my women's dresses and women's tops are being bought by 2 different set of women only. Versus no, same woman is buying it. She's preferring more and returning more. Or you're saying no, more returns come because the first timers who like it, they're not going to. They just say, look, this fit is not for Covent Lane, so I'm just returning it. Versus somebody saying, I'm loving more and more of Covent Lane. I'm experimenting more and more of Covent Lane. So I will keep buying more, but I will also keep returning more. But that's fine. I'm going to be very engaged with Covent Lane.
And that's what you want, right?
Yeah, I want to build on what Toshin is saying, because color, design, fit are the 3 things that work for, in this category. Take somebody like Zara. The moment they see a design or a pattern working, they run it across the whole range. So similarly, building on Toshin's point, let's take men's shirts and men's polos. If a color of shirt is selling, is there a polo version of it for you?
Exactly.
Very simple point, but very effective point. So if there are 3, you're seeing burgundy fly off, you're seeing purple fly off, automatically gives you license to try it.
Yeah.
Okay. If button-down shirts are selling, do you have a button-down polo? Think about these combinations. They're easy wins.
And then at scale, the supply chain efficiency, that 1-2% gross margin, it will also happen. It will be very good, actually. This is all muscle building stuff.
No, but I think what Shiv says is so insightful, because I think Sanya or you said this, that, you know, who said men are easy shoppers? You said.
Yeah.
Because whenever I go into a store, my wife will always say, oh, you will come back with
the
some blue shirt on you.
Yeah, correct.
So I come back with blue shirt. I come back with stripes will also be blue. This thing. So she'll be like, oh, it's all blue. So all my wardrobe has only blue and pink. So like, there is nothing else. So if there was, because I'm like, I like blue shirts,
right.
I like blue t-shirts, I like all shades of broadly light blue-ish.
Yeah.
To get me to buy a green is like a massive effort. And I'm like, I don't want to buy green. Why would I do green? Because in my mind, my image of myself, I always view myself in,
correct,
in blue those, suits, in those colors. Blue stuff, blue, and khaki trousers. So all khakis will only have a range.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it's all color.
You know, that's interesting. So in our world, we say, like, men are hard to engage, easy to please.
Correct.
Women are easy to engage, hard to please.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can engage women quickly, but the product has to be very high quality. Men will take ages for you to get attention. But once you're in, you're in. They're very loyal.
Or the same product. And
they'll buy the same thing. They'll be happy. They won't move.
It is Steve Jobs, isme hi hai ki. Order 15 at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah, correct, yeah.
True. Awesome, awesome. Let's go. Let's go to the last question, I think, on revenue and profitability choices.
So a little context about this. We have seen different sort of scale-ups throughout our last nine-month journey. Very early on, we decided to scale up really rapidly, which is almost 180%, which helped us jump our revenue, but then all the other metrics at the bottom broke and degraded. And it took us really long to sort of bring it back. And we've constantly worked for the last 3, 4, 5 months to make it really healthy. And what we learned was we have to set a framework where if we are scaling, we need to scale up, learn, stabilize, and then scale up again. So what are your guys' thoughts about that?
So I think a lot of times, and revenue versus profitability is a place which actually comes down to choice. And a lot of times we think that there is a right choice, making the right choice. It's also about making the choice right. And you guys have to figure out what kind of runway you have,
mm-hmm.
and hence what kind of burn appetite you have, and how that feeds into your general risk profile as entrepreneurs. My overall view on this is that I will have it's like going to Las Vegas. Like you'll say, I'm going to, the moment I'm down $1,000, I'm going to
quit.
Stop.
Correct.
Like whether that happens in the first hour or that happens in the second.
Finish my free chips, I stop.
Yeah. So $1,000, like whatever. Some people are $1,000, some people are $10,000, some people are $5,000, whatever. You should think about burn that way. That I have this much. Now this is a choice I've made. Now I want to make the hell out. Now I want to scale and make sure that I maximize chances of growing while being significantly cushioned by this choice. Because I don't think you can do either. You have to do both. The question is, what point of time you do which one? And are you able to ride tailwinds that are external to your business? Because 99% of your outcomes of your business are driven by externalities. How much are we think that we are in control of things? We are not. So we do the best, forget the rest, right? Then you do your best and you try to scale as quickly as possible while being inside. So you make that choice and then you try to make that choice right. Rather than thinking, what's the right choice here? It's almost always the most elusive thing ever. So I know it's a very more philosophical answer than you would like, but yeah.
I have a slightly different view on it. See, I think as founders, you have gotten into this not to have economics of a certain kind in a business. Mm-hmm. Okay. You never started when you came back from the US and all. You didn't say, oh, I want a business which has a PBT margin of X and EBITDA of Y. You started with a vision and excitement and a passion to change a category, to have this thing and so on. So don't worry about profitability and economics so early in the game. Okay, you have touchwood, you have the family background and so on, you will get funding and all. So you are never as founders going to be excited by, oh, how is my EBITDA for this month looking? It's never going to happen. Trust me, it's never going to happen. I don't know of a single founder, and especially early founders, think say, oh, I'm so excited. I broke even in the 17th month. I have now got a PBT of X and something. It's never going to happen. You are going to be excited by your AOV and basket, and I launched a new channel, and I launched a new outfit, and this happened, and I got these 3 phones from satisfied customers. So this energy that you have, you need a lot more to be fueled by the business. Okay, so you have to get your business right. Economics of the business will follow. Okay.
You have to buy the right, you have to buy it. Then you have to buy that.
No, but I'm saying, and I'll come to that. So what does the market reward in 2026? Forget the market. Okay. If you start doing what markets and investors want, you are starting with the round foundation itself. Because investors don't know what they want. Okay. Genuinely, we don't know what you want. Because if any investor knew, he would be running the business. He would be. So he's betting on the fact that you get your choices right and so on. And at so early stage, it is not a bet. On the, there's some on the category and so on. It's a bet on both of you. If you are going to be excited and passionate and go to office every morning and say, what? I'm going to explain this new trend. You know what, Sunny, I found this. Oh, but I was walking down the street and I saw this cool thing. I think we should take that for ourselves. So the early stage, given that you are not going to see financial success, okay, personally, okay, your energy is not going to come from saying, oh, I'm sitting on liquidity of X and my startup is valued at Y. Wo ego abhi tak aaya nahi tumhare paas, which is good. Okay, it will come at some stage. I can tell you that ego will come. Founder egos happen. Shantanu is a great example of that. But I think so. That's why the chip analogy, Las Vegas chips is, you need to be saying, okay, temperature jab tak itna mera burn hai na, mujhe tension nahi hai. I'm okay to do a burn monthly of 20 lakhs a month. चलते रहेगा ना अगर वो 50 होता है It's a stock market thing, na? But stop loss kitne pe hai? Okay. Ek level pe I need to start getting worried and saying, guys, are we doing the right thing? Are we sure? Let's relook at how we are doing things. Ek level ke baad saying, I need to have my funding ready. Okay. When do you start to have your funding ready? Because that's the only thing. Okay. Because if you can, by the way, if you say, look, I'm going to self-finance it. Okay. I don't matter. For next 3 years, mentally, both of us through friends and family and through Sauce VC or whoever, 5 crore tak ka burn, jab tak main kar raha hu na, mujhe to annually, I'm not going to be worried about it. That's fine. Have that constraint. Then you focus on business. If your burn rate suddenly increases without you knowing why. See, to me, it is never about the burn rate. It is like, what happens is founders say, I will get this done. And suddenly something happens. And there is no maths explanation. There is an English. Ye hua, fir wo hua, fir wo hua, fir humne ye kya, humne ye change kya. Like, do you, I don't mind as an investor the burn happening. Because you know what, I'm only X percent. Company to tumhari hai na. Burn to tumhe jyada pinch hoga. It should pinch you more. It's your life. Mere liye to maine write off kiya usko. So you need to know why the burn happened. And was that burn a deliberate choice? Saying, we are going to, next season ke liye humko ye char cheeze karni hai. And my next thing is, do you learn enough from that burn or not? Saying, now let's step back and say, we are burning this much. You're saying on October, November 26, I'm going to be at 5% minus. It's okay. 5 ka minus 20 bhi hua na, toh mujhe tension nahi hai. Oh, minus 100 hua. Guys, were you sleeping at the wheel? Were you sleeping at the wheel? So to me, that is the real question. And early stage, first 2 years, get your product market fit, get your, what's your LBD? Kuch toh, see, you also have to feel excited, no?
Right.
This is a marathon. Don't start asking yourself the question saying, am I leading in the first 5 kilometers of a marathon? It's irrelevant. First 5 kilometers of a marathon is all about, am I feeling good? Is there any niggle? Is my nutrition right? Is my heart rate right? Is my breathing happening in the right manner? Okay, where am I in the overall pack? Just focus on that. When you are at your 30th kilometer, that's when you start asking the question of speed, pace, kya hona chahiye, where am I going it? Ab marathon bhag rahe ho. You started Bombay Shaving Company in 2017, right? 2016. That's 10 years. Now he has to definitely, the question will be profitable or not. He can't now say, I'm getting my product market fit right. First 2-3 years, you have to be able to experiment. You have to take that risk appetite. Don't do, because agar kisi ko risk nahi leni hai, you should not be a founder only. First 2 years, mein sab break even nahi hoga kabhi bhi.
Are you profitable?
Not really. No. Not for profitability.
From source or whatever.
Don't worry about it. Don't even worry about, I mean, seeing revenue is good.
The thing is, founders who are early stage, na, there is just so much noise from your board, from...
But see, good thing is they have only some one external VC, right? Who's your funding?
Sure. Just
Sauce, no? Yeah. So till the time you don't have people who are going to murmur profitable, you have to just say, look, ye kisi ek accountant ko de do. You guys need to review it. You need one good accountant who's saying ki Sanya ka ye na ye itna nahi hona chahiye, madam ye kyun hai. Don't have anybody else into it. Because investors will, what can the investor tell you about style? Except where he went for his last brand, where did he purchase? Other than that, investor has no clue. But you need to know what are the right metrics. I'm saying 2026, the question is, if we were having this discussion in 2026, what should have changed? Just answer that question. Focus on what should have changed. Should you have introduced more lines? Should you have realized, you know what? Marketplace doesn't make sense if XYZ is not there. This is the two things. So to me, just focus on that thing, right? And make sure it's so early stage, you need to have the energy to keep trying for new things. But energy is your biggest currency right now. Not your financials, because you will get funding. Okay, because there are, see, the way I look at it is, how many VCs are raising money? If VCs are raising money for India, kahin na kahin to unko dalna hi hai na. They can't put it in the same companies. They also have to show diversification. They need to take new stories. They need to say, they need to find the next rare rabbits and Lululemons and so on. So don't worry about them. They will be herd mindset. You have to say, have you cracked your first question, product market fit? Is your data telling you the right things, what not to repeat and what to keep repeating? You get that right? This is a great chart, but for somebody else. This chart helps us to say, aap kahan par ho. This is not your chart. Your chart is your data of saying that person who bought that thing 8 times.
Yeah.
Why did he buy it 8 times? Canada. How many people are now from who are going to be reminded of Canada? Interesting. What is the next trend in Canada? I don't know the Club Monaco. How many other such Canadian brands are there also? Can I borrow Steel with Pride, as Shiv has told us in the previous thing? Steel with Pride. Can I learn from, you know, Canadian brands? Why Canada only? Why not British brands? Savile Row ka kya naya trend hai? Because you are saying That's what is going to give me the next insight.
Right.
So, as I said, you are not running a market. 2026 mein market kya reward karega? Tumko puchna chahiye 2031 mein market kya reward karega? That's a good question to ask. So 2026 will go. You just have two more seasons. Those seasons mein aap kya hi discover kar loge?
But good, I like this 10 crore MRR. 30x growth in the next 3 years. This is very good. Expanding to 10 stores, international markets. Amazing. Sani, Adit, hope this was fun. I don't know, I hope this was like...
Extremely helpful.
I'm looking forward to my COVID-19.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have...
That's what this all I promise.